May grace and peace be multiplied among us by our Savior, He who walks ahead and calls us to follow, Jesus our Lord. Amen. The text for today for our meditation is from the Gospel, which we've just read, and especially this verse. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." This is our text. Please be seated. Take a minute to listen. Stop for a brief moment and hold your breath and listen. And you might hear Him coming. Imagine yourself in a field, a little less than a kilometer away from the city of Jerusalem. It's morning and the sun is heating up and you are thirsty. And so you stop for a drink and you walk over to the shade of a tree where there's a water pot and you take a long drink. In the buzzing quiet with the sound of insects and distant faint sounds of other field workers, you hear something else. Voices, and more than one. There's a crowd of people coming down the road. So you leave the work for a moment and go toward the sound, curious, who could be coming down the road? Why is this day special? When you come to the narrow footpath, which has a little room for animals and the odd cart, you see a group coming, about 30 or 40 people, some kids running in the front, and in the middle, a man who catches your eye and holds it, a man wearing an expression that you cannot place, a look in his eyes of compassion, of kindness and peace, but also of weight and sorrow. He sees you by the side of the path and makes eye contact for a second, and for that instant you can feel your soul come alive. And then the group begins to pass by. Something is happening. You can't say what. But instead of returning to the field, you follow this parade. Follow, then, to the top of the little hill where the group stops for a few minutes and you can't see what's happening, but when it continues, now this man is riding on a young donkey, the pace slowing since the animal takes sure, plodding steps. But now you are sure there is something special happening here in this moment. Follow then as the group passes the high point of the land, the rise that some call the Mount of Olives, and watch as the city becomes visible below. Now there is a growing spectacle building, for from both sides of the road, more and more curious people are coming and the noise is building. It seems that there are those who were waiting for this group, this train of people coming in from the country, which you are now part of, and they are beginning to sing and to chant. You can't make out the words yet some are bringing branches of palm trees and laying them across the road, and the noise is building. It's the man on the donkey, clearly at the center of whatever is happening today. He must be someone special. But who? Seeing an opportunity to get ahead of the group, you hurry down a steep shortcut which cuts off a switchback and run ahead toward the wall of the city where a large group has now gathered. A large group which is now shouting a word and a song. Hosanna! It means save us. And the refrain, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The King. So He is a king. But Jerusalem already has a king. Surely this is not Herod. That much is obvious. Surely this is not Caesar. But who is he then? And why are they calling him a king? Do they not know, do they not understand how dangerous that language can be? So Jesus comes, riding into the city, accompanied by the shouts of the crowds, looking into the eyes of those on either side of the road. He sees children with grubby faces and tired mothers. He sees farmers who have left their fields to see what the noise is all about. He sees young women with their faces covered, hopeful youth who in 10 years will be getting married and trying to build homes, and he sees also the jaded, tired expressions of those who have sold out their fellow Jewish people to become part of the system that oppresses them, soldiers paid by Roman masters, money collectors, most dangerous of all, informants in the employ of the temple guard, the temple rulers. The triumphal entry. Does anyone truly understand what's going on? Three times Jesus had confided to his disciples, this group which was closest to him, and should have had the best chance to grasp what was going on, what he was saying. Three times he had announced, "We are going to Jerusalem, and I will be betrayed and arrested, and I will be tortured and killed. But on the third day I will rise again." Three times he had given them this window to look through into his decided future. Yet they did not understand. How could they have understood? And his announcements were far from their minds while he entered the city with praises and shouts. And so they followed him in, expectant, hungry for change. Perhaps they believed that a revolution was coming, a new king, a deliverer, a savior. He would not disappoint them, would he? He would not fail to do all that they asked him to do, would he? So Jesus comes riding into the city, but they don't understand. They don't realize the depths of where he will take them before they realize the glory of his accomplishment. Jesus will suffer, and he will die, and they will be scattered. And yet he will rise again. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear friends gathered today in worship on Palm Sunday, if Jesus came riding into our city, what would he see? If Jesus came riding into the city of Edmonton this Palm Sunday in 2019, what would he see? I know it stretches our imaginations a little to think about that picture, but play along if you will. Imagine Jesus arriving in Edmonton, coming up maybe Gateway Boulevard into our city. What kind of car would he be driving? A Dodge Colt, perhaps. I know that was the worst pastor joke I've told, and I got grief for it between the services. If Jesus came into our city today in 2019, what would he see? What would he witness? What would he be thinking of, and what would he be looking for? Well, Jesus would see the same people that you and I see. He would see, for instance, the school kids playing outside at recess, living lives that are full of adventure and creativity, brimming with energy, looking for an outlet. He would see kids that are making friendships and straining for independence and getting in fights and chafing under the instruction of impossible parents who don't understand. Jesus would see these kids and he would know what they need. Jesus is coming into our city, riding into our city, bringing his good news. But do we perceive it? Do we understand it? Do we expect it? Well, who would Jesus see if he came riding into our city, the city of Edmonton, today? He would see an elderly couple, perhaps. She caring for him as he becomes increasingly incapable to do so himself, slowly being overcome by a creeping chronic illness. Jesus would see those for whom good news lies beyond this present world and life with its tragedies and pain and limitations. And Jesus would understand, would come close with the good news that he is carrying, that he is bringing into our city. And yet we might not understand it at first. If Jesus came riding into our city today in 2019, he would see a young newly married couple, hopeful and enthusiastic, learning the ups and downs of marriage, learning how to experience good times and bad, to fight and to make up and to keep their love flowing. Those for whom good news comes in the form of guidance and companionship and direction along the path of life. Jesus sees us. And he brings his good news, but do we perceive it? Do we notice? If Jesus came riding into our city today, into Edmonton, he would see an unemployed man in his late 30s, trying desperately to leave his past behind him, trying to overcome addictions and grief, and trying to find, for today at least, a place to sleep. He for whom good news might be a plate of warm food and a patient listening ear. And Jesus is bringing good news. But do we perceive it? Are we aware of it? Jesus would see the widow at home by her window, surrounded by pictures of her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. She for whom the day has become a long, quiet, patient, lonely suffering. She who questions now her purpose and misses her husband. She for whom good news is a friend coming over for supper to break the monotony of solitude. Jesus is coming. Jesus is seeing and he is bringing good news. So Jesus comes riding into our city. And he is bringing good news, though we might not understand it at first. Like the crowds shouting Hosanna those centuries ago, our expectations might be misplaced. Might we be looking for a Savior who comes to meet our needs, the ones that are pressing on our lives, who soothes the specific pain that we are experiencing at this moment, who solves our problems and makes our lives a little bit easier, but who does so unobtrusively, without causing too much ruckus and trouble for us. As Jesus comes riding into our city to do so much more than that, so much more than a small change here and there, a little improvement, a little bit easier life. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday and we imagine the parade that morning and we welcome Jesus into our presence too as he comes in to our city and as he comes into our lives to take upon himself the full depth of our hurt and brokenness and sinfulness. The path that Jesus took into the city of Jerusalem was a path of sorrow. Even despite the cheering of that day, it became heavy as he carried the burdens of each of those people that he looked at, each of those hearts that had its mixed emotions, the specific challenges of which he was aware and which he picked and carried and relieved the burdens of those who were worshiping. The path that Jesus leads us on this week takes us past the jubilance, the song of Palm Sunday, right towards the heaviness, the closeness, the intimacy of Thursday evening, where Jesus takes the form of a servant and washes his disciples' feet, where he shares that intimate meal with them, the institution of the Lord's Supper, and where he therefore is also betrayed by one of his closest friends and goes out into the garden to pray and to sweat great drops of blood. Before we know it, we'll be following Jesus as he leads us through that evening and the day to come, another parade, this time on a Friday, as Jesus carries his cross out of the city. Jesus comes riding into our lives, coming close enough to know exactly what we need. And the shouts of "Save us, Hosanna," will become shouts of "Crucify him," as we object to his way, as we object to his methods. Jesus, who should not be up there on the cross. Jesus, who offends us by taking our own brokenness into himself. He is bringing good news. He is making all things new, and when he is finished, we might begin to understand what Jesus is doing. But for today, we might have to be content to watch in wonder, with mouths that are gaping, with hearts that are broken at the good news our Savior brings. Because this is not the way we would have done it. This is not the method we would have chosen. Yet this is the way Jesus did it, and he knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus comes riding into our city this morning, welcomed by shouts of praise from the hearts and from the lips of people all throughout our city. And he knows exactly what he is doing. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends in Christ, as he comes to you today and invites you to follow along in the parade, May your eyes and your heart be opened to see what Jesus is doing. May our lives together be shaped in the presence of our Savior, who calls us to be witnesses of His most glorious and mysterious work. For that is why He came, and that is why we sing. Amen. Now may the peace that comes from knowing our Savior's visitation, of recognizing Jesus, who calls us to follow in His footsteps, may that peace guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the time when He comes to take us into eternity, where we will be praising Him for all time. Amen.